Did you ever sit and wonder why? Let's say when people get baptized, they come out of that bump, out of that water, they're supposed to be changed, but they're not. You see them floating, you know, in the spirit on the water and stay that way for 20 minutes and get out of the water, and the very next day they're just right back to where they were before they got in the water. If somebody has an answer to that, don't tell me right now, but email it to me. Because in the Bible, whenever they was baptized, they were changed. Why isn't the world today? Think about that. Why are we not changed when we sit in the house of God and the power of God hits you and you leave the same as you came? This is something that every person needs to be thinking about. You know, I think about the scripture says, narrow is the way and very few find it. And you know, when I first got born again, I knew what it said, but I didn't quite digest what it was saying. But as I've been ministering all these years and I watch people, I see why God said very few will find it. It just seems like the world has such a pull on people. And they just don't really, you know. I was talking to God, to Chris and Adriana before church, and I said, you know, God asked me for one day, and that's Sunday. I don't do anything on that day. When I was first born again, I told my family, I said, God comes first. We don't hold any birthday parties. We don't do anything on a Sunday because that's God's day. So if we have something we're going to celebrate, we're going to celebrate either Saturday or Monday. But God gives his day. How many people do you know that do that? You know, give God his day, his whole day. Even with my grandchildren, that they live up north, they want to come. I said, you can't come on Sunday. You have to come on Saturday. Because I give God his day. Do you ever think that's why people don't get stay saved? They don't bother giving God a day. And the enemy has a little bit of a doorway he can come in there, a little crack. I don't know why I'm saying this, so just, you know, do whatever you want to with it. I just have a hard time with what the body of Christ is doing nowadays, even with everything that God is doing and all the destruction in the world. He still hasn't gotten our attention. He really hasn't. And we say one thing and we do something terribly different. And it just seems like the enemy just stays there. I bought a few books about deliverance, how to keep your deliverance once you have a deliverance. If you've been through a deliverance and you haven't been able to keep your deliverance, only get the book, and it's in English, it's not in Spanish, sorry. But only get the book if you're really going to read it to find out how to keep yourself free. You know, because we need to learn how to keep ourselves free. Some people say, well, when the glory drops, you know, you might be dead before the glory drops. It's not going to drop till fall, guys. So, why not just get yourself saved right now? Why not just get the demons out of you right now and keep them out? And how many of you know that the devil's fighting you more now than he ever has in your entire life? He's throwing everything at you that and God told us this was going to happen. He says he's throwing everything at us that he has in the throes of hell. He warned us this was coming, but how many of us have been caught off guard? And the enemy's come in the back door and made you act like you didn't know what God was all about. These are just things you need to think about. And when I heard about the 2024 election, I really do hope that everybody's not seen now on that day. Because I can't even believe it's even there. And I said, what has America come to? And you know, the world is making fun of us. We are no longer the head. They're ridiculing us all over the place. And that upsets me. We used to be a nation to be proud of. But now look around you and see what's going on. I really want you to start thinking, if I was to die right this very second, where would I end up? And that, you know, that today God really stressed it upon me. He said, daughter, you know what you saw when you was in hell. He said, but the people don't believe what you had to say. He said, even though you gave your testimony of what you saw the three times you was there, there are still those that now say, God, that won't go to heaven. You know, I don't wish you a trip to hell, because you know what? It wouldn't change you anyhow. It really wouldn't, because you've already halfway hardened your heart. And that's why you just can't get saved and stay saved. Remember what God said. He shook the church and he's finished with him, and now he's shaking the remnant churches. Where, even though you are a remnant church, where will you end up at when the shaking's all done? Serious thinking. And how many souls are going to hell because you were not strong enough to overcome the devil when he come at you? And if you're not being fought really hard every day, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Because the battles are stronger than they've ever been. And God told me they would be. He said, because now you're fighting the biggest demons that hell has. Told us a while back. But I don't believe people believe that either. You read where the FBI is in the big churches now, in disguise, watching what's going on in the churches. If you don't believe the church is under persecution, it is. And are you ready to die for your belief? Think about, are you really ready to die for your belief? I sit and think to myself, would I really, if somebody came to me and said, I'm going to shoot you if you don't deny Christ, would I really deny Christ? Yes, I would, because I'm tired of living to begin with. But I think those who are dead are a whole lot better off than we are. You know? But, you know, this is the way my mind thinks. I think all the time on different things. And what would I really do? You know, we shoot our mouth off and say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, you know, you don't know until the time comes. All right? So let's not judge others. Let's just worry about us, you know, and are we going to make it to heaven? Because we really don't know. We honestly don't know. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but, you know, because I know when we first started church, the glory of God was in every, well, you know those days, Teresa. And yet the people that sat in the churches saying the God is here, the glory is here, the anointing is here, today they're not even saved. And they sit under that powerful anointing for years. I know why God's had me do all this, because we need to get it together. The church needs to get it together so we can be a witness to the lost and dying world. Amen. Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you, and we give you all honor and all glory. Father God, I know that I know that I know that these people are here tonight because you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. I also know, Father God, that Satan has a plan and a purpose for their lives. And like you showed me, Father God, we are in a tug of war, and we have to decide whether you win or the devil wins. And Father God, I'm believing tonight that you have provoked these people to jealousy, and they're going to determine their heart, Father, that you're going to win the tug of war and the enemy's under their feet. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm reading for you tonight is what I taught in 2018. I don't know how it appeared on my desktop, but it did. And so I'm going to give it. Somehow or other it got there, so I'm giving it because it relates to today. It was entitled "The Onslaught That Is About to Hit America." The world as you know it is coming unglued. Fear will be running rampant all across the lands. No one will have real answers. Isn't that what's going on? That is why I need my children well informed and ready for the onslaught that is about to hit America. There will be violence all over the land. It will be one great catastrophe after another. There will be no peace anywhere. Isn't that what's going on? My children must get in perfect peace and stay in perfect peace no matter what the circumstances. How many of you find out it's really hard? You stay in peace, but you have to fight to stay there. Peace just doesn't come natural anymore like it used to. There's a battle raging in the heaven, you know, above us in the atmosphere, that's trying to steal our peace every day. If that's not you, that's fine. But I can guarantee you that is going on. I have been telling my church through my prophets to get themselves ready for this darkness was going to creep into the land and then take over the land. Much persecution has already begun for my children, and it will only increase in intensity and as the months go by. You had better pray for your president and quit coming against him. He has much on his shoulders, and the land is coming against everything he does or says. And God said, stop it. Surround him with prayer and cover him with the blood. Did you ever ask yourself, why is it that he is being come against so violently? Have you ever seen this in any other president? I brought him into office at this time of great darkness because he is strong and can handle the land, the load. I brought him into this world for such a time as this. He will make it. But will those who are coming against my anointed one make it? I have never seen one person so persecuted in all my life. He can't even sneeze right. Yeah, I have never in my life. So you know he's of God. Because the ones that are not of God, they're letting them alone. But I don't know. But I hope you pray for this President Trump with every day. Have him on your heart every second, every day. This man needs covered and he's not backing down. And see, he's an example to me of how when you're persecuted, you stand your ground. We always look to Jesus, all right? But here's a human being that we're watching being persecuted beyond measure. And he's not backing down. He's still standing his ground. And when he talks strong. And he talks bold. This is what we should be like. We shouldn't be backing down. We should be standing tall and talking strong and bold. God said, better get it together right now. Why is it that all you can think of is, what is God going to use me for? Isn't that what you've been hearing? You know, why can't you just be a vessel that I can use whenever I need to? The answer, because you are so full of pride that you stink and I cannot use you. No matter what I have spoken into your lives, what I spoke into your lives was not so you could get puffed up with pride and say, see how wonderful I am going to be. You and I underline going to be. It was to get you geared up and strengthened to be used in this dark dispensation of time. So many souls being tossed into the abyss daily just because all you can think of is, why isn't God using me? And how many of you have read, you know, heard people, you talk to people, you look what great things God's going to do with me. He's not going to do anything with you if you can't live in the present and be just a vessel. My son knew why he was on earth, and he carried out his assignment without one ounce of pride rearing his ugly head. Pride is a stench to my nostrils. Come away from the lure of the world and just be a true child of God, not wanting attention. We know that pride is a terrible thing, and it does rear its head all the time in this church. And see, God told me the church isn't being run right. He said, everybody is thinking about what they're doing, their business. They're not putting the church first. They're thinking about their businesses, their books. I mean, he told me that. And see, and this is not pleasing to God. You can't go around and say, well, I'm a prophet. Well, you know what? The devil has his prophets too. And if you're puffed up with pride and you're running around telling everybody you're a prophet, then the right spirit's not in you, is it? Come on. 1 Samuel 13:13 said, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. See, Saul did what Saul wanted to do and said what God wanted him to do. In Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. He just told Saul here, you would have been king over Israel forever. That's a long time, forever. But because he did that thing wrong that God told him not to do. It was something about, I forgot what it was about. He was supposed to wait for Samuel the prophet to come and do the praying, wasn't he? And instead, Saul didn't wait for the prophet, so Saul did it. All right, and see what it cost him his kingdom. So I said, I put that in there to say this. You doing something like this could cost you your kingdom also, you know, your calling. Think about that. Well, you know how many people say, you know this too, Teresa. I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to show that Pastor Barbara that I'm as anointed as she is. I don't care how anointed you are. You know, if God's called you, that's wonderful. And I use people, you know. But why do you have that attitude? Why don't we just get into the house of God in one mind and one accord and let the glory drop? Let the miracle stop happen, not worrying who it comes through. Come on. Did you know that 43% of Americans think pornography is morally acceptable? These results are a wake-up call for the church. Christians must strongly proclaim that pornography is both morally unacceptable and also harmful to individuals and relationships. Now, Jonathan Cahn, is that his name? He has 11-minute thing out there about why this transgender thing is going on. It's on YouTube. You need to watch it. It's very, very informative. I can write it. Chris can put it. Put it out where you can find it. But he tells why this is going on. And you know, America is messed up, and so the enemy has a foothold in America, and he's doing whatever he so desires to do. The prophetic word for the month of June is run to the battle line and run to the war. Don't run away from the fight, run into it. Too many people are running away from the fight. You know why I know that? Because every now and then, you know, I pick up what other people are thinking, or I pick up what's in the atmosphere. And every now and then I get the dumbest thoughts, you know, about running away from the devil or whatever. You know, and I know it's not me, but that's in the atmosphere. And so if we who are prophetic and, you know, and are really close to God are picking that up, it's everywhere, right? And so we need to break down these strongholds that are in the atmosphere trying to destroy the church. It has been said there is a reason why our armor doesn't cover our backside, because we are to face demon powers toe to toe rather than flee in fear. Too many people are running away from the devil and not stopping and fighting him. The enemy is rearing his ugly head and he is manifesting himself in so many different ways. We are in a spiritual onslaught. You do not have to be doing anything wrong. He is attacking, he hates you and he despises you and he wants to destroy you. Period. End. Come on. God told us we were going through a Job experience. And you know, I said, well, I've lost. I've lost everything. I don't have boils, thank God. But I would like to know how long Job had to go through this experience, and it doesn't tell you. You know, so, you know, we just have to go with the flow. We, you know, we aren't doing anything wrong, like I wrote down here. It, you know, the devil has gone to God and asked for us. Do you understand? You know, do you know that the devil went to God and asked for your family? And God, seeing how strong you are, he said, go ahead, do whatever you want to that family. They'll stay a family. Are you staying a family? You see what I'm saying? Are you really staying a family, or are you allowing the enemy to go ahead and defeat you? You know, the devil's fighting families tooth and nail right now. And my grandson Jimmy said, Mama, do you think we'll ever get be a family and stay a family again? I said, we are a family. We're just being fought. You know, and we just have to stand our ground. We have to keep loving one another. We can't be fighting one another. Yeah, because, you know, I get fought just as much as you do. And he's after everything I have, too, just like he's after your stuff. Are you listening? Right now, he's working through the kids like I've never seen before. I've never seen kids carry on like they are right now in the trouble they're causing. It's unreal, isn't it? And there's no respect for a grown-up. No respect for a mother or father. Well, it's not going to go well with you. I've taught that to my boys, haven't I, kids? That, you know, you have to respect your parents because the Bible says it's not going to go well with you, right? You must resist the enemy and he will flee. You cannot allow him to get a stronghold in your life. In James 4, 7 through 10. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. Submit your life to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I care to tell you, he will flee. But you're going to have to stand. And you're going to have to tell him who he is not in your life. And you're going to keep saying that until you defeat him, right? But see, the church doesn't fight. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. How many of you go to bed at night crying? Because the devil's been fighting you and fighting you and fighting you, and you're still fighting, you're praying, you're believing, and you're trusting God. And you go, when you're laying in bed doing your prayers like I do, you know, and you're crying out to God, God, please end this thing. Send your angels to fight this battle for me. Amen. I'm not quitting. But God said to call out to him, and God said, ask for the angels, and they'll come. They'll fight your battles for you. Everything I've learned, I apply when I'm in a battle. Because the enemy's going to just keep trying to discourage you. We must understand that we are on a mission when we run to the battle, and our goal is to defeat the enemy at every turn. The first time Jezebel was confronted in Scripture, she was defeated. I didn't write that Scripture down. It's 1 Kings 9, 32-37, and 1 Kings 21, 25-29. I got so excited what I found there. Look that up, Nancy, can you? 1 Kings 21, 25. That I forgot to type it out. While she's looking at it, I said, confront this thing in your life, and it will bow. It really will. Warren, the devil can't defeat you if you really believe that. You're the head and not the tail. You're the priest in your household. The devil isn't. Doesn't matter how much your wife might carry on or your daughter carry on. You're still the priest in your household. And as you take those things to God, God's going to work with you and straighten your household out. Brett found that out, didn't you, Brett? Well, he's laughing at me. Did you? Yeah, all right, you did. Did you find it, Nancy? Can you put it up there? 1 Kings 21, 25. Do you believe me, Juan? You can win this battle that you feel like you can't. You can. You know, sometimes, well, I'm glad I'm a woman. But, you know, I just like to be a man and sock that devil in the nose and make it bleed. You got it? All right, let's read this. As for the other events of Amon's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? He was buried. I don't know if this is the right one. He was buried. It's 1 Kings, honey. I thought that doesn't sound right. Won't worry about that. All right. But, you know, you think, well, if a man was standing up there, but you know what? I think us women are more fierce than the men are. You know, don't you? We're like a little bear with our cubs. You don't come near my cubs. And so whenever you're fighting for your family, you tell the devil, you're not coming near my cubs. These are mine. God gave them to me, and you can't have them. If you don't do that, you're going to lose your kids. All right, there we go. You guys, look at this and read it. There was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. He was urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth. God was going to do something to him bad. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite and said, "Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? And because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son." That's where you get where, you know, the sins of the father goes down to the son. Right there's your scripture for that. I've read that, I don't know how many times those years, but it just, a light bulb went off and the fireworks and everything else. And then, you know, I was talking to somebody about it. And then we were saying, well, what if that son was following God and repented? Would the sins go down on him? And I said, no, I don't think so. Because the Bible says it goes down to third, fourth, fifth generation. You know, so if that son was following God, it would skip him and go to the next generation. Because we've run across this a lot in doing deliverance. And that's why, you know, this generation was fine. You know, the father sinned, but this generation was fine. Then the next generation was hit with it because they weren't serving God. All right, so I brought all that out to say this. You might be going through something really bad, and you can't figure out for the life of you, what have I done that all this mess has come upon me? And according to that scripture, it could be you did nothing wrong. It was what your father did before you. And because he repented, now that sin has come down to you. So let's quit judging people and say, what are you doing or what have you done? You didn't do anything. It was the sins of the father that's come down upon you. All right? And if that was happening to me, I would repent real quickly of the sins of my father and ask God to release me from it. I just thought this is a really good piece of information. So I just thought I'd share it, all right? All right. Confront this thing in your life and it will bow. Run to the battle. The devil will keep pursuing you, so run to him and he will flee. Remember God told me one time about a year ago, you can go around this mountain as long as you want to, daughter, but when you're ready to quit going around the mountain, I'll be here waiting for you. The devil was chasing me. I was fleeing from this situation. And God wanted me to stop that and just stop and confront the enemy. Are you understanding this? Because when God said, I'll be here waiting for you, he meant the power would be there and I could defeat that enemy. All right, quit tolerating whatever the devil's doing to you. Always remember, if you are a prophet, then the enemy will send a Jezebel into your life to destroy you. Always remember that. And see, that is the truth. And God told me, about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, he said, daughter, the Jezebels are back into the church. And they're after you. So see, the devil will send the Jezebels after anybody that's a prophet. Anybody's a prophet, not just me. And what that Jezebel does is try to destroy you. And you have to be walking close to God so that you have discernment. He can warn you, like he did me. He said, the Jezebels are back in the church. They're trying to destroy the prophets. So what do we start doing? We start praying against that. If you would just walk close to God, he will tell you what's going on in your life. When it comes to David's famed battle against Goliath, we see him running to the battle three times. The first run was when his father Jesse told him to carry food to his brothers at the battle line. That's in 1 Samuel 17:22. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army. The word tells us he ran to the battle scene. When he arrived on the scene, he heard the war cry. The second run was to meet the Philistine, Goliath. The third run was to finish off the enemy. He didn't walk. He ran towards the enemy and destroyed him. David took out the strong man, and the rest of the enemy ran away from him. We need to quit. Well, didn't God say this new generation, you young people that's coming in right now, you were going to be so wild that you were going to destroy the enemy and just he would flee away from you. And I would really hold on to that because God said that. And he even gave us the scripture for it. That God is building you up. You're going to be so strong that the enemy's not going to want any part of you. He's going to run every time he hears your name. All right, so when I used to do deliverances, the devil would say, we know you, your name's known in the throes of hell. You know, and they were afraid of my name. So is the devil afraid of your name? Does the devil know that you walk close to God and that you know that you have power and authority and he cannot harass you? Are you listening? We are in a fierce battle. The body is being heavily oppressed by the spirit of Python. It is trying to constrict you to destroy your gifts, your calling, your ministry, your marriage, and your family. We are in a fierce battle. The body is being heavily oppressed by the spirit of Python. It is trying to constrict you to destroy your gifts, your calling, your ministry, your marriage, and your family. Some of you sitting in here, the Python spirit has come on you and you've allowed it to, and it's destroying everything you are and everything you ever will be. You need to start standing up and fighting. This Python spirit has been bombarding you with lies, condemnation, accusation, confusion, and fear. And don't we see that every place we go, these things are in operation? I see it in this church. And I can't figure out why. Because you've been taught you know better. And no spirit in hell should be able to come against you and destroy you. They can come against you, but they shouldn't destroy you. You should be bold and you should be standing face to face and making him flee. I've told you about different times I stood up really. You can't touch me. And then I found out, yeah, he could touch me because God told me he was going to. He's going to do everything but kill you. So my thing is, you can't kill me. I write about, you can't kill me, and I'm going to fight you until you leave me alone. See, you have to know these things in your heart and in your spirit, or you're not going to fight. You're going to just lay down and play dead. We need to fight. Come on. Okay, this attack is particularly fierce against the prophets, the prophetic people, the intercessors, and the warriors. This battle is a battle against truth. The enemy has been constricting you and trying to shut you up and shut you down because you have proven yourself to be a Philippians 4:8 voice of the Lord. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of God report, of good report, I'm sorry, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If you do this, you'll defeat the enemy. He won't have any place in you. Are you listening? You know, I don't know about you, but I get instant angry when I know the enemy's trying to stir up strife. I am so sick and tired of the enemy. Aren't you of the enemy doing it in the body of Christ? I mean, who does he think he is? Just like David said to Goliath, who do you think you are? Who does he think he is that he can come to you and destroy you? He thinks he's stronger than you are. That's why he does it. And you're going to prove to him that what he thinks is wrong and that he's not going to win the battle. To be free, I think that's where I'm at. To be free from this spirit, we must invite his consuming fire into our life. You are to be free of the python, we must invite God's consuming fire into our lives, all right? As a prophet called for the fire of God, the flames and the vision, all right, this is a vision that I saw, so I wrote this in here. I mean, somebody else wrote this. The flames in the vision began to grow larger and higher, and I saw the flames begin to spread over vast areas in the spirit. They went into holes, under rocks, into caves, in areas of darkness. These are the flames of fire. And began to drive out snakes, small and large, that were hiding in the holes in the ground and under rocks and caves. The flames of God were not just exposing the snakes, but they were driving them out straight into the fire to be consumed by the fire of the Lord. There was no escape for them because nothing and no one can escape the fire of the Lord. She was seeing this in people, this, you know, different places in people's lives. Then she went on to say, as I witnessed the awesomeness of God's power, I invited the fire of the Lord to come into the deepest areas of my soul and life. Now, we've done this many, many times. I asked that he would flush out and expose areas of my life where the enemy may have taken refuge, where I may have knowingly or unknowingly given him access. Then I saw the fire of the Lord reach into the dark and obscure areas of my soul and begin to flush out snakes, some big ones and some baby ones that were hiding there. They were drawn out straight into the fire of the Lord and immediately consumed. The snakes cannot hide from the fire of the Lord. Not only will it expose them, but it will exterminate them and turn them into ashes before your eyes. Now, God's been telling a lot of people in this church, you're going into a dark period in your life. And in this dark period, I've been watching you guys that God said that to. You've been acting stupid. And what's going on is that fire is going in there and pushing all this junk that's in you out of you. And it's not you. You're not acting normal because these demons are being pushed out of you by the fire. Now, instead of you getting all upset and boo-hooing and carrying on like a fool, you need to say, thank you, Jesus, for pushing these demons out of me with your fire. And then you tell that whatever you don't know, don't need to know what it is, just get all the way out in Jesus' name and don't come back. All right? Come on. You need to learn to fight. We're supposed to be warriors. They were drawn out straight into the fire. Did I read that, didn't I? Yeah, he'll turn them into ashes for your eyes. God spoke and said, speak out and call for my fire. Command my fire to go into the holes under the rocks and into caves of your life where the enemy has taken refuge. Refuse to harbor the pythons and the snakes that have been constricting you and confining you from being who I have called you to be. Why do you think God had me teach about unforgiveness? There's things in your life that there's snakes that crawled into the rocks and the holes with inside of you, and they're embedded in there. And God spoke about unforgiveness because he wanted his fire to go in there and get all that junk out of you. As the tongues of fire lapped at the python that was wrapped around this man, I saw the python began to melt and burn and lost its grip on this man, and he was able to step out into freedom. I haven't seen you guys step out into freedom. I talked to somebody the other day, said, how are you doing? They said, I'm trying to gain my footing once again. And, you know, when the enemy has you in bondage and then God, you know, takes his fire and gets him out of there, then you have to regroup. You know, you have to find your strength again, because the enemy robbed you of a whole lot of stuff while he was in there. The Lord wants to do the same for you today as you're willing to embrace his fire. Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed, this was John the Baptist said this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. God has been trying to, God was using the fire in here, but some of the people are still sitting here, still bound. They didn't let that fire go in there and burn up the junk. Or if it was in there, burned up the junk, you didn't understand what's going on. So then you went a different route and still stayed in bondage. But God in this hour is trying to get us totally and completely set free. The Lord said, the baptism of fire is here to expose and exterminate the snakes that have been sent to hinder you and shut you down. As you embrace my fire, I am setting you free from everything that has been constricting you and preventing you from rising from glory to glory. Embrace my fire, for it is the key to your deliverance, freedom, and victory against the spirit of Python in this hour. I will give you the mountains, and you will behold my glory from every mountaintop. Many of you are about to enter into a fresh new season of elevation of the glory of the Lord. You are about to soar to greater heights because the one who has been hindering your elevation is dead. I want to stop here. You know, I said last night, I should no longer be a pastor. I should just resign as pastor and go be an evangelist. I'm having trouble with the sheep. They want to stay babies and don't want to grow up. I spoke that because I was feeling that last night. And if every other pastor would admit it, they've thought it too, but maybe some don't. But you get, you know, if you're full of God and you know how good he is, and you watch people stay in the mess they're in year after year after year, it will drive you to distraction. All right? I have to say that and get it out in the open, or it would stay in me and it'd about burn me up inside. It's discouraging, though, to watch people stay in their sin and you know, sit in the house of God and bring them devils in every time they come in. It's time, saints of God, we get free of this junk and stay free. All right, I declare of you today that the Spirit of the Lord is here with this fire. Now, because we're going to have the altar call. Don't go to sleep on me. I declare of you today that the Spirit of the Lord is here with it. See, if you can go to sleep after what I'm up here doing, there's something wrong with you. We had to go around and wash your ears out. I couldn't sleep with this. Amen? Come on. I lost my place. I declare over you today that the Spirit of the Lord is here with this fire to destroy every yoke, every bondage, and every demonic spirit that has been controlling, constricting, and inhibiting you from living your life to the fullest. And this is what's going on. The Lord is fighting the fiery battles that you have been roaring against you in this hour. The Spirit of the Lord is raising a standard against the onslaught upon your life. He is setting you free. Now, can you believe that tonight? Can you believe that when you come to the altar, the fire of God is going to burn all the junk out of you, and you're never going to get it back again? Submit yourself to his holy fire as he cleans up your life of the chaff of every iniquity and everything that is worthless and corrupted in your life with his unquenchable fire. I declare it is your hour of freedom. It is your hour of elevation into glory. This spiritual python is dead. It is time to ascend. Church, I want to see you get up and rise. I want to see you get into the fullness of your destiny. I would love to sit back here and watch you all up here doing your thing. I would, because I'm your mom. And your mom is proud of her kids, you know. And a mother wants to see their kids excel. I've been at this a long time. Now maybe one of you ought to try it. Come on. Lost my place. Remember what God spoke. God spoke and said, speak out and call for my fire. When you come up here, I want you to do that. Command my fire to go into the holes under rocks and into caves of your life where the enemy has taken refuge. Refuse to harbor the pythons and the snakes that have been constricting you and confining you from being who I have. This is God saying this. I have called you to be. Then I said, fight. Set yourself free. Fight. Fight the good faith and set yourself free. And so when next time the devil comes knocking at your door, you say, I'm sorry, you have to go to the next door because you can't come in this door anymore. You're defeated in Jesus' name. And, you know, we went through all this forgiveness thing, all right? We talked about that teaching. And one of the things said you had to forgive yourself for allowing yourself to be used, right? So I did that. I was so proud of myself. I was free. Today, right before I left church, I wasn't free. I had to forgive myself again for allowing myself to be used and abused. You know what I'm saying? And I said, devil, you are not going to do this. So I had to get myself free before I got here. See how the devil works? You know, he's not going to sit back and make you believe you're free. How dumb are you and still breathing? You know, how many times you ask yourself that? I'll say, Barbara, how dumb are you and you're still breathing? You know, why would you let the devil do this to you? You need to talk to yourself. Make yourself, you know, line up with the Word of God. If people think you're crazy, they already think you're anyhow. So then you're assuring them that you are when you start doing that, right? The altar's open. Do you really want the fire of God to go down inside of you and suck out all that junk that the enemy put on you? The altar's open, and I know the fire of God is here tonight.